Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're not an orphan. You're a king's kid. Turn to your other neighbor and say, live like it. Live like it. Live like it. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that we can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God will not come in ways that man thinks. The worst thing that we could ever do is to put God in a box, taking old ways, trying to produce the next out of something that is already past. We can't try to say God did it this way before, so the only way he ever will do it again is the same way, because there's something new that's on the horizon that God is doing. And if we keep God in a box, we're going to miss the next. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
But he said the kingdom of God, in many versions say, is within you. I want you to put your hands on your chest like this and say, the kingdom of God is within me. I am the kingdom of God. I am the will of God. I am the purpose of God. It's in me. And here's the problem. If we think the kingdom of God is what we do two or three times a week when we walk through the doors of a church, we miss the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. But when we understand that the kingdom of God is within us, and I've been preaching this, and if you're getting tired of hearing it, I'm sorry, because until we start walking like it, I'm going to keep preaching it. Now, when I say that, I'm preaching to myself. Because some days I have to get up and say, hey, old boy, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is not the sermon you preach on Sunday. The kingdom of God is not the work you do during the week. The kingdom of God is greater and bigger than those things as well. The kingdom of God is in me. Everything that I touch, everything that I say, everywhere that I go, I carry the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. The greatest place that we are to see the evidence of the kingdom of God is in our house, in our home. That's where it begins. That's where the kingdom of God begins. Unfortunately, in so many cases, that seems to be some of the places that hell runs rampant, because behind closed doors, we act out in ways that we shouldn't, because we become conditioned to this world and not to that world. God didn't call us to be reactors to this world. He called us to be invaders to this world.
Yes. That's good.
He didn't call us to react. He called us to invade. There's a kingdom of this earth, and there's a kingdom of heaven. And God has put us on this earth to bring heaven to earth. That's what we're here for. And when we understand that the kingdom is in us, we start changing our perception of how we live. We often look for signs of things that are tangible for us to measure how God is doing in the kingdom and how it looks and how we might say God is here or God is there. It's happening because of this is happening. And we look around the earth and around us and around things that are happening. We let that be our benchmark of what God is doing. We see healings. We see God moving in our families. We see our finances changing. But the truth of the matter is, these are results of the kingdom of God, and we can't measure everything by that. Because if we measure everything by that, when times are bad, we'll think the kingdom of God has left. Are y'all with me this morning? How many's ever went to your bank to pull out some money and there was no money in the bank? Raise your hand. Come on. April, that's awesome. April's been rich her whole life. That's amazing. How many has ever went to the doctor sick and left the doctor sick? Come on. How many has ever had a children that you didn't know what in the world you was going to do with, and you get frustrated, and then all of a sudden you feel like, what's going on? How am I going to survive this? And life happens. I was thanking God yesterday morning. I was just sitting in my office at home, and I was just praising God. And I started thanking God. Now, I don't have perfect kids, but I was just thanking God that my kids are living for God. Amen. All of my kids are serving the Lord. And I was thanking God for that. I was thanking God for His goodness. Not for the perfection of my children, because my kids are not perfect and neither are their parents. But I was thanking God because the kingdom of God says, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. What have we done? We have imparted, or we have taught the kingdom in our kids. You got to get this picture today. Because if we only see the kingdom out of our natural eyes of when things are good, then the kingdom is good. But when things are bad, the kingdom is weak. The kingdom of God does not have highs and lows. It remains. He's perfect in all of His ways. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's perfect in all His ways. You don't wake up one day and say, well, today's a bad day for the kingdom. I'm not feeling so good today. I think I'm just going to sit on my throne and let everything go to hell. Not how it works. That's not how God operates. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's good all the time. He's perfect in all of His ways. He heals every day. He sets free every day. Salvation is for all who call upon the name of the Lord. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift the kingdom around. But what happens is when you begin to pray, you bring His kingdom into the earth. When you begin to fasten your eyes upon Him, you begin to bring His kingdom into your being. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. So how do we change the atmosphere? When I say there's going to be a shift in the atmosphere, do I mean that the Lord's going to wake up and go, oh, South Louisiana, I forgot about them. No, He hasn't forgotten about us, but He's waiting on His people to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. Somebody shout, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. So when we understand the kingdom is within me, Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. That's just South Louisiana. It's a matter of eating and drinking, especially this weekend. Mostly drinking. Come on, people, lighten up. It's Mardi Gras. Whole lot of drinking going on. But Tuesday's coming. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating, drinking, but is righteousness. Everybody shout it out. Righteousness, peace, joy, Holy Spirit. If you didn't say that, I'm going to give you another chance. All right? Because I saw some people didn't say it. I'm not going to call any names. But Heather, help me say it. All right. Righteousness, peace, joy, Holy Spirit. The kingdom is a matter of righteousness, peace, joy, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not given to you just to save you out of sin. The Holy Spirit was given to you so that you can understand the kingdom of God. There's not a greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. There's not a greater give you greater understanding than the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the kingdom of God in you, flowing out of you. And with that comes some amazing things. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When we live from a kingdom perspective, we can live in health, wealth, and an overcoming lifestyle. There's something stirring inside of me, and I've never preached this in 20 years like this. There's been a shifting in the spirit, in my spirit, about health, about wealth, and about an overcoming life. Listen to me. This is the year that we're going to see the kingdom of God like never before, in health, amen, and in wealth, amen, and in overcoming life. Amen. I've been sober for 32 years. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes every day, along with as much weed as I could get my hands on. I walked to an altar. They laid hands on me. They prayed for me. A fire went from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. When I came up off the floor 2 hours later, there was nobody left in the church but me and a couple other people. And I was praying in the Spirit. But I've never had a day of withdrawals since then. There's not been a day in my life that the old Marvin rose up and there was these withdrawals within me to go back to that old world. Let me tell you why. Because the old man died. The old man died. That's not my battle. Because you know why? Righteousness, peace, yes, joy, the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you saying, Pastor, since then you've not sinned or fallen short of the glory of God? I wish I could tell you that, but that would be lying. I have fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned. I have done things. I have said things. I have thought things that were wrong. But it wasn't because I was drawn by the addiction back to the old. Because when God set me free, He set me free. Amen. You got to get that, because here's the power in that. Is that when we're saying we're always battling with the old man, it's because we have not killed the old man and allowed peace, joy, and Holy Spirit to come into our lives. The only way the old man can still be in your life is if you're holding on to your past. You got to help me preach this morning. I'm not going to do what I used to do, but I'm going to do a little bit of this because I'm too old to do that. You come up here on this side. You come up here on this side. This is my old man. Never mind. You're too nice. This is my old man. This is an angel. Amen? Amen. All right. If I'm holding on to the past and trying to hold on to righteousness, there's eventually going to be a problem in my life. Now, I want y'all to just slide them chairs out just a little bit, not very far. All right. Whoa, 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 whoa. When I did this years ago in children's church, I let them slide them all the way out, but we're not going to do that today. I have children to raise. We hold on to things that God has told us to let go of. We want to keep a little bit of the old man because the devil's lied to us and told us the pleasure of yesterday. We don't have to let go of the pleasures of this world to have the presence of God. This is where separate yourself comes in. Come out from among them and be you separate. Let me preach this a little bit. Separation is saying righteousness rules my life. Amen. It's not criticism of others to make you separate. Amen. That's called self-righteousness. And self-righteousness has filthy rags. But righteousness says, I have the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. The kingdom is within me. Joy, peace, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, if I can do this or not. But when I'm trying to hold on to this and hold on to this, there's no way that I can serve two masters. And here's what we do. We try to live for God while holding on to our old man. Move those chairs out a little bit further. Something's in the break. I'm handicapped right now. I there's nothing I can do. And I get in this trap of I'm trying to be in the world and be in the church. Trying to live for God but hold on to my past. There's a weakness in my life, and that's why I'm constantly struggling and fighting to try to maintain my walk with God. Very uncomfortable. And life begins to tear me down. But when I find my hope in Him and my righteousness in Him and my strength in Him, I'm planting my feet upon a solid foundation and nothing can move me. Nothing can move me. Let me help you. That's why when we fall, when we make a mistake in life, when we sin and we do, we come short of the glory of God. When we're living with our self wrapped around the righteousness of God, immediately we're convicted, we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we stay firm on the foundation. But when we got a grip a little bit on the old man, then we have to make choices. We have to make choices. So when conviction comes, the devil says condemnation. You're no good. You're bad. You're worthless. You're not any good to the kingdom of God anymore. We start making choices. If you ever make the choice just to live for God, it's going to make your walking with God so much easier. I've heard a lot of preaching about how hard it is to live for God. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot more. The reason it's hard to live for God is because you're standing in a trap and holding on to the past. You can't walk when you're doing the splits. There ain't a whole lot you can do from that position. But when you say, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, for thine is the glory, forever, amen. Anybody with me this morning? Anybody hear what I'm preaching this morning? When we know that God is good, that He's never going to let us down, He's never going to fail us, He's never going to walk away, He's never going to leave us comfortless, He's always going to be there for us, then we make a decision to live in the place of His kingdom. And then all of a sudden we have a kingdom perspective and life begins to change around us. So health, wealth, and overcoming. Everybody say health. And I'm not against doctors. I go to doctors. I got up this morning, took my blood pressure medicine. I take it most days, except for the days I forget. And about 5 o'clock in the evening, I start remembering. I'm not against doctors. And I don't think you got to be poor to be righteous. Amen. That's a lie of the enemy. But God wants to let us live in health and in wealth. Let me tell you what. And wealth's not all just about money. So I was thinking about wealth just yesterday. I was thinking about wealth is in relationships. Wealth is in friendship. Wealth is in health. Wealth is in good family. Wealth is in, there's wealth in lots of areas of our life. Amen. But let me tell you something. I think He also wants you to have money in your pocket. We'll say, Pastor, why do you believe that? Because it takes money to operate in life. Does anybody show up at your house on the first day of the month and pay all your bills? No, you need money to do that. How many knows that sometimes there's a whole lot more month than there is money? That ain't God's plan for our life. I ain't got time to preach about stewardship today. God puts in your hand, we got to steward what God gives, but I'm going to throw this in here while I'm preaching because I'm feeling good this morning. If you don't put God first and you don't pay your tithes, don't come to me and tell me to pray for you for wealth in your life. Tithes are our first fruit. You know what tithes represent? God, you're first. Well, I go to church. I saw somebody posted something on Facebook. I read it this morning. I'm glad I go to a church where they don't talk about money. Well, read your Bible. It talks about money from all the way through it. And if your money is your God, that's why you can't understand the kingdom. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. You say, well, they just want my money. No, we don't need your money because God is our provider. Your money represents your love for God. Amen. Your first fruits represent God is first in my life. But let's get off money for just a minute. This ain't even in my notes, but it's good preaching. I wasn't going to say all this, but come on, give me five on that right there. Amen. It's not just your money, but it's your time. It's your talent. Everybody say time, talent, treasure. When God gives you a time, talent, and treasure, and you bury it in the bank or in the ground or wherever you bury it, and you don't use it for the kingdom of God, you're saying what God gave me is mine, and I'm going to hold on to it. It doesn't move the kingdom forward. Everything that God has given you in your time, talent, and treasure is to move his kingdom forward. And here's what happens. When we start moving the kingdom forward, he says in Malachi 3, I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. Amen. You know how do you get more of the kingdom of God? Give what he's given you away. Amen. Anybody with me this morning? Right. Say, Pastor, you are preaching good. Thank you. That's a good word. You know why we hold on to our money? It's because we're still holding on to that fear. If I can't tell you in my 20 years of pastoring how many people tell me, so, Pastor, we really want to pay our tithes, but we just don't have enough money to pay our bills. And if we don't pay our bills, you're limited in yourself. What you're saying is, I trust this kingdom more than I trust that kingdom. Lord, Pastor, we would show up for serve days, but we have too much to do in our lives. What you're saying is, I'm serving this kingdom is more important than that kingdom. Pastor, God has given me a talent, but I'm really tired after the end of the week. I really don't have time to use my talent for the kingdom of God. So you're investing in this world where it's going to corrode, it's going to fall apart, it's going to be over with, and you're not investing into the eternal. Oh, man, this is good. You're not investing into eternity, because you don't have a clear view of what the kingdom looks like. You cannot outgive, outserve, outdo God. It's impossible. Well, y'all got quiet on me this morning. Lord, I want your kingdom blessings, but I want to hold on to what I got. Where's your talent? Well, I just didn't want to lose it, so I buried it in the ground. I didn't invest it into the multiplication process of the kingdom. God doesn't add, he multiplies. We're thinking, if I can get $2, then, and I save my $2, then I can save $2 more, I'll have $4. Whew, man, that'd be awesome. You ever taken a child? Pawpaw was buying chocolates, world's famous chocolates, yesterday from my little daughter. And did you get any of those, Mimi, or did you eat them before you got home? And so he was buying chocolates yesterday, and he was helping her to count back. You know, you bought a box of chocolates. I gave you $5. This is $2. And she was processing that. And that's how we live in the kingdom. Well, God, you give me a box of chocolate, I'll give you this. And we think so little. But here's how the kingdom works. I'm going to give you everything I got because I'm expecting, Lord, for you to give me everything you've got. Multiplication. Look at your neighbor and say, you're thinking too small. Oh, that was so weak. We got to change our view, our perspective of the kingdom of God. We set to live in health, live in wealth, and live an overcoming life. Amen. Well, I read where Jesus told them, said, don't take no tunic and don't take no purse and don't take nothing with you. Just eat whatever they give you. We've taken that scripture way out of context and said, to be like Jesus is to be poor. He said, no, just don't take that because you're going to be blessed with things that you never even thought of. If you drag that with you, you're going to limit yourself to what you have. Right. But if you leave it all behind, I'm going to give you more than you can imagine. It's going to be better. Well, hallelujah. This was nowhere in my notes, but last session, but get back on track here. So not to believe these principles I just taught is to believe that the kingdom of God is broke. Come on, say that again, sis.
It ain't broke because he ain't broke.
And to think that salvation, I'm going to try to finish here in a minute. And to think that salvation was only meant for forgiveness of sin alone. We think being just, if I can just be saved. If I could just be saved. It only helps us. I just don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn forever in eternity. I don't want to go to hell, obviously, but there's more than that. So we just live minimal, thinking salvation is just to escape hell while we live in hell. Why we live in trouble, why we live in turmoil, why we live without peace, why we live without joy, why we live with all the stuff going on in our lives. Because salvation is just to escape this world. Now, I don't want to minimize that because I don't want you to think I'm saying it's not important. Eternity's real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. It's important. But when we think of salvation only as escaping hell, we miss the whole purpose and the whole plan of God for us to bring his kingdom, his heaven, to earth. But the word salvation is much more. It's wholeness, it's forgiveness, it's healing, and it's deliverance. God wants us to be delivered from this world, to be in the world, but not of the world. Righteousness deals with sin issues. Peace answers deliverance and torment issues. Joy is for sickness and disease and depression, etc. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We shouldn't have to walk in to visit someone of our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, be like, let me be careful what to say. Which way is the wind blowing today? How's their prayer life? Let me check the wind. When we live kingdom, we walk in kingdom. Let me help you today. Listen, I've been depressed. I know what it is to be depressed. Before 2010, I didn't believe in depression. I thought people that were depressed were people that didn't know how to pray. People come to me and say, Pastor, I'm feeling depressed. And I'd be like, well, go pray. I'd solve all your issues. So they'd go pray and they'd come back. I'm still depressed. I still feel down. I couldn't understand. I couldn't wrap my mind around that. In 2010, I went through a deep, 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 dark depression. And I was praying. And I would call people that were in my circle, and I'd say, I'm feeling depressed. And they'd say, well, go pray. So that's not wrong advice. The problem is, it's perception of how we pray. When we start praying His kingdom, it moves us off of that place where we're at. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength, and we move. But when we just pray out of, let me say this, how am I going to say this? When we just pray with not an understanding of the kingdom, we pray pitiful prayers. Like, God, oh God, I'm depressed, and I know that You've abandoned me, and You've walked away from me. You've left me, God. Where are You, Lord? But when we have a kingdom perspective, we say, God, I don't feel You right now, but I know that You never leave me or forsake me. I can't hear You right now. Listen, there's going to be seasons in your life you don't hear God. But when you don't hear God, it's okay. He hasn't left. Are you understanding what I'm saying today? From a kingdom perspective, it's okay in those seasons when you don't hear. Because you know. And the way you get to that place is because you live in the absolutes of the kingdom of God now, with heaven on earth, with fire in your bones, with the joy of the Lord in your heart. And it prepares you for the seasons when I don't feel God. We have too much church life that's about feeling. Man, ain't none of this stuff in my notes, but this is good. I'm going to say, we have too much stuff about feeling, like, oh, if I feel God, oh, I feel God, He's good. Listen, God's good whether you feel Him or not. Well, God can't be good because I'm down. God's still good. He's good when you're broke. He's good when you're down. He's good when your friends forsake you. You see, Job had an understanding of the kingdom. He said, God is good all the time. My friends forsake me. My wife told me to just curse God and die. Everybody's left me. God, You're good. And You're going to be good tomorrow. And You're going to bring me out of this place that I'm at. It's okay. God's good. Proverbs 17 says, laughter's good like a medicine. We need to learn how to laugh. Man, being righteous doesn't make you... Well, I'm not even going to get into all that. Learn to live. Learn to laugh. Learn to enjoy life. Learn to have fun. Listen, Christians are to have more fun than anybody on earth. Brother Ellis, I don't know if y'all know him, pastors here in town. He posted on Facebook last week. He said, you don't have to give up anything to go to heaven that you don't have to give up to go to hell. All that stuff you're holding on to, it won't be in hell. So why hang on to it? That's a good word. Learn to laugh. Learn to enjoy life. Learn to enjoy your family. We cannot confuse destiny. I'm going to get back on my message here. We must not confuse destiny with our assignment. Heaven is my destiny, while bringing the kingdom of God is my assignment. We may not see all that we have heard or we have all proclaimed, and we may not fully understand it all, but if God said it, he will do it. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteous. But Abraham did not see all that God promised. So we got to change our thinking that the kingdom of God is only what I can see. The kingdom of God is the promise of God. And it's not seeing as believing, it's believing produces seeing. And if I don't see it, it's still okay. It's when we begin to believe in the greatness and the goodness of God that we start living like children of kings and not like orphans. And that's when we're going to see health and wealth and overcoming, prosperity and blessing in our life. Worship team, you can come. The gospel of salvation is focused. Let's do that song. I don't know what you plan on doing, but let's do that song that Sarah was doing. The gospel of salvation is focused on getting people to heaven. I want you to listen to this. I know they're moving around, but listen to me. The gospel of salvation is focused on getting people to heaven, but the gospel of the kingdom is focused upon transformed lives. Cities and nations seeing the kingdom of God come, heaven coming to earth. This should be our reality. His kingdom come, his will be done. And with understanding of the goodness of God, there's a shift that's happening in the atmosphere that's changing. I heard a prophecy from Tudor yesterday that said, over the next 7 years, we're going to see the blessings of God like we've never seen before. Amen. It's not an American word. He's not American. He's an African. He said around the world, God's about to pour out his spirit and pour out his anointing and pour out his blessings and pour out his all those things. Until you see it from a perspective of the kingdom, though, you'll miss it. Because you'll measure it by what you see presently. So I have to change my lens. I have to get a new perspective of the goodness of God and see from a heavenly place, from a different perspective. You have to climb up and get on in the high places. I know many times in my life, deer hunting, you have to have vision, you know. You have to see what you can't see, because when you're standing on the ground, they don't have the same view. But I get that little jack-up stand, and I begin to jack up that tree. And I get about 25 feet up in the air, and it changes my perspective. Now I can see and out, and I can see better. Or getting in a building, you rise to the top, and what you couldn't see before, you now can see. We have to rise above the things of this earth and the visual here, and start seeing from a heavenly perspective. It gives us a greater view of what God is doing. We're breaking off these strongholds. We're breaking off these things in our life. And God's opening the windows of heaven, and he's pouring out his spirit on the earth like never before. And there's a cry. There's a cry that comes, heaven come. Holy Spirit come. Lord, pour out your love on our city, on our region, on our nation. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. When? Now. It's the now time. We're living in the now moment. I feel the Holy Spirit just working in somebody's heart this morning. Because you walked in here this morning and I don't mean that. It's good to go to be faithful to church, so don't take this out of context. But you walked in here this morning, and some of it was out of obligation. And that's not all bad. God loves faithfulness. He's into that. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's into faithfulness. And sometimes when we don't feel God's faithfulness carries us through. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying this. That sometimes somebody walked in here today just being faithful, just out of obligation to your commitment to God, to this house, to other things. And those are good things. But somewhere in the spirit realm today, God started tweaking some things in your heart. And he started saying, hey, there's more to this than what meets the eye. There's more in your life than what you're seeing right now. And he begins to turn the lens, change the view. The perspective is changing. The why is changing. And here's the deal. If you ask Christ into your life, you've been baptized, you've been filled with the Spirit, you're ready to go to heaven, that's awesome. But there's more than that. There's more than that. There's more to the kingdom of God than just escaping this earth. There's more than that. Say, Pastor, you have a good day every day? No. I don't have a good day every day. But I have a good God every day. Yes. He's faithful. And he's good. And he loves us.